Thank you, Brother Massengill. I sure appreciate you and need your prayers tonight. In Matthew chapter 14 and in Mark chapter 6, the Lord Jesus and his disciples have come across a stormy sea. He's literally walked on the water to come to the disciples and to save them from the storm they were in. When he quietens the storm, they land in the country of Gennesaret. And the Bible tells us in those chapters that when the people hear that Jesus has come to that country, to that region, the Bible says that they begin to bring all the sick folks and lay them at the feet of Jesus. And then as he walks through the towns and the villages, the Bible says, all the sick folks that are laid at his feet, touch the hem of his garment, they are made perfectly whole. And so you can imagine what all's going on in this area. You can imagine the great talk that's going on, the great excitement as Jesus is here in this region and all of these people are being healed. Not one person that comes or one person that's brought that touches the hem of his garment or the border of his garment is left the same. Everyone is changed. Amen. And I'm thankful tonight you can still touch him tonight. Then when we get to chapter 15 of the Gospel of Luke, Mark chapter 7, the Bible tells us that the Pharisees and the scribes come from Jerusalem to Gennesaret. Mark's gospel tells us that they come and they find fault. It's amazing how far some folks will go to find fault. And what could you find fault with when folks that are infirmed and sick and been in this condition are made whole and perfectly whole? What fault is to be found? But here are these scribes and Pharisees, and the fault they find is that Jesus' disciples are eating without washing their hands. They're eating with unwashing hands, and they say they are transgressing the commandment of God. Jesus said, the prophet said truth about y'all when it said, you honor me with your lips, but your heart is far from me. Amen. For you are teaching the traditions of men for the commandments of God. Amen. And that's what's upsetting you. And he reminded them that they were more interested in washing hands, clean cups and platters, than they were what come out of an individual. And he said, never does eating with unwashing hands defile a person, but that that comes from within, out of the heart, that defiles the person. And so religion is what man does for God. Salvation is what God does for man. And he said you should be interested on the inward instead of the outward. How many times have we perfected the outward and have let the inward remain the same, or remain filthy or dirty? That's what he's saying to them. And after this confrontation with these Pharisees and scribes, and after healing the multitudes as he did, the Bible said that he departs into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. Mark put it, he departs to the border of Tyre and Sidon. That is, Tyre and Sidon are on the sea coast. They're in the land of Phoenicia. And so Jesus does not go into that Gentile land, but he goes to the border of Phoenicia, which Tyre and Sidon are a part of. And there, the Bible said, He, my friend, enters into a house and would have no man know it. In other words, he's pulling himself apart from this great healing that's going on, and he's pulling himself or taking himself apart from the confrontation of these Pharisees. Evidently, he felt that he needed some time alone with the Father. Sometimes you have to remove yourself from the public eye. Sometimes you have to remove yourself, my friend, from those that are confrontational and get alone with the Father. Amen. So here he is. And the Bible said he's in that house, but would have no man know it. Amen. He's there in secretly. Then the Bible said, but he could not be hid. Right. Right. Amen. Because it could not be hid, the Bible said, out of that coast of Tyre and Sidon, out of that country of Phoenicia, comes a woman to Jesus. Amen. The noise, it was noised abroad that he was close to Phoenicia. He's not in Phoenicia, but he's close. Right. And no doubt she has heard at other times as someone from their country or someone from Israel went over into that country and talked about Jesus. So she knows that, my friend, he's there and what he has power to do. Amen. And maybe before she has not seen the need of talking to him. She's not needed his power. She's not needed his healing. She's not needed his wisdom. She's not needed his deliverance. But she's now at a point that she comes to him because there is a need in her house. Maybe you've been hearing about him for quite some time. Maybe you've been hearing about his deliverance and his power and his healing and all that goes with him, his salvation. But it's really not mattered much to you. But oh, tonight there's trouble in your heart. There's trouble in your house tonight. And you're beginning to wonder, I wonder if I need to go where he's at tonight. I wonder if I need to approach him tonight. I wonder if I need to come or go where he is tonight. Can I say, you don't have far to go. Amen. He's not far. Paul said to the folks at Mars Hill, you can happily feel after him, for he's not far from any one of us. The word is nigh thy mouth, even in thy heart. How far is God? Amen. He's right there. Amen. Well, I thought he's at the altar. No, the altar's just a place where you lay your head and weep. Amen. Oh, no. But he's not at the altar. He's right there. Amen. And so here is this woman. I'm amazed that she comes. She knows she needs to. There's trouble at her house. But that she understands, my friend, how difficult or maybe she feels unworthy or unacceptable coming to him. First of all, she doesn't feel like she can come to him because she's under a generational curse. Amen. She's from the country of Phoenicia, which is a Canaanite country. She's a daughter of Canaan, the Bible explains to us. Amen. And Noah said to Canaan, cursed be Canaan. And that generational curse is passed down to this one who is a daughter of Canaan. Maybe you've heard Jesus is nigh. Maybe you need something and trouble is in your heart and in your house tonight. But so you feel, oh, I'm not worthy to go because of who I am from and who I was born of. Amen. By the way, at the best, parents that you have. Amen. All of us have some generational curses. Amen. So she doesn't feel worthy to come because of the curse that's upon her. She's a daughter of Canaan. Amen. Has Satan told you? Has your own flesh told you about your parents, about your dad, about your mom, my friend, about your grandfather, your grandmother, about something in your past? And surely Jesus wouldn't have anything to do with you. Amen. You got some bad genes. You got some bad blood in you. Got some real problems in the family. Though you've maybe not done what they have done and reached that, you understand that, my friend, it's been passed down, my friend, through the DNA, and it's come down to you tonight, and you wonder, would he have anything to do with me because of who I come from? Not only is she worried about the curse that's upon her, but she's also worried about the culture she's been brought up in. Amen. She is a Phoenician. She's a daughter of Canaan, but the Bible calls her the Syrophoenician. Syrophoenicia, my friend, was named that by the Greeks when Alexander took, my friend, this region. And she says, I was brought up with a Greek culture. The Greek culture was that culture of mythology. That Greek culture was that they explain the things of nature, the things of creation, the things of the world by those gods that they imagine. Amen. Surely Jesus wouldn't have anything to do with her. These Hebrews, these Israelites that served only one God, surely I wouldn't have something to do with that one. That person that was brought up all of their life to believe in all kinds of gods. Amen. Oh my. And so she hesitates, though she needs to come to Jesus. She hesitates because of her culture, because of the way she was raised, because of the environment that she has been around all of her life. Oh my. And then can I say, not only is it her culture that causes her to hesitate to come, but can I say to you, it's her conduct. For when she finally does decide to go and departs out of the coast of Phoenicia, Tyre, and Sidon, and comes to that house where Jesus could not be hid, she says, Lord, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Before she asks for her daughter, though eventually she does say, for my daughter is grievously vexed with the devil, she said, I need you to have mercy on me. What she's saying? She's saying, I feel like my daughter is where she's at because of the conduct, the culture, amen, the curse that I'm under, and my conduct has caused her to be grievously vexed with the devil. What she's saying is, I opened the door for demon oppression, demonic influence upon my daughter. I believe the door has to be opened for Satan to enter. If that's not so, then I wouldn't want you to have any more young'uns, our grand young'uns, amen, if he can just come in to anyone at any time he gets ready, but there has to be an open door. Amen. And can I ask you, have you opened any doors to demonic influence? I'll say this to you tonight. Amen. I feel like there's doors that I opened that brought demonic influence to those that I love. And so she's saying, my daughter is grievously vexed. Mark tells us she's a young daughter, a young girl. And she is vexed because of my conduct. Pastor and author Jake Cale says there are 9 doors that you can open that bring demonic influence. First of all, he says embracing sin is an open door for demonic influence. Traumatic experiences are an open door for Satan. Believing the enemy's lies. Exposure to unholy things. Unforgiveness. Involvement in false religious cults and false teachings. Any occult involvement. Curses. And ungodly relationships. All of these are doors that open not just yourself, but your loved ones, sons and daughters, wives and husbands. It opens the door for demonic influence in their lives. She's worried about going. Because she knew she opened the door. But when she sees that girl on that bed. Right. And sees that demonic influence as it ruins and rules over her life. And she knows the culture that she's been brought up in. But she knows none of those false gods of mythology can help her or help her daughter now. Amen. Amen. Maybe somebody told her about that woman by the name of Mary that he cast 7 demons and devils out of. And she said, well, if he can do that for her, surely he can help my daughter. Laying aside all pride and all fear and all anxiousness, all the things that would keep her from going to Christ. She comes out of Phoenicia. She comes out of the border of Tyre and Sidon and walks over into Israel where Jesus is at that house. Amen. And when she gets close enough to where he can hear her, she says, Lord, thou son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. I wonder tonight, would you approach him? I wonder tonight from your innermost being. I wonder tonight from your soul, from your heart, would you cry tonight, Lord, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Mercy, help me. I need mercy first. And then don't just help me, help my daughter. She's grievously vexed with a devil. I played with sin. I toyed. I opened the door to this and to that. And I didn't realize what I was opening the door to. Well, tonight, do we need to shut some doors? Do we need to say, God, help me to shut some doors? And the doors I've already opened that's caused problem. Would you have mercy and help us tonight? Amen. Amen. Lord, thou son of David, have mercy. And the Bible said he answers her not a word. And we think about Jesus and how loving and compassionate and concerned that he was. We're amazed that he ignores this woman. Amen. I know Brother Mitchell's been here and I refer to him probably too much in my preaching. But he said to me one time, he said, I went to this camp meeting and they treated me very bad. It was a large camp meeting. And he said, they treated me very bad. And I said, what did they do? Did they, because they disagreed doctrinally. And he said, I said, what did they do? Did they preach to you? Try to straighten you out? He said, I wish they had. I could have took that. He said, they done worse. They ignored me. They made me sit by myself at time, mealtime, and they wouldn't speak to me. He said, that hurt me worse than if they had said you're wrong and preached to me and tried to straighten me out from the pulpit or person to person. And it looks like Jesus is as offensive as you can be by ignoring this woman, not answering her a word. But I say to you, he's not offensive. And when you cry to him and it seems he doesn't hear, he knew this woman. He knew the faith that she had. And he is testing and trying that faith. He answers her not a word. Should she turn and go back home? Should she turn and go back to that daughter that's grievously vexed? Maybe she thinks about it in her mind. But when she imagines, as she saw her before she left, she said, I can't. I can't. And so she continues to cry, Lord, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And the disciples get enough of it. And they say, Lord, send her away. For she crieth after us. And we're tired of hearing her say over and over again, Lord, thou son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter's grievously vexed with the devil. And Jesus said, I am not sent save to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. The disciples wouldn't just simply say, send her away. They were saying, do what she's asking. We're tired of hearing her pray and ask for it. Give her a request. Jesus said, I can't. I'm not sent save to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. She hears this, no doubt. Should she go away now? Oh, my. And so, from this point, the Bible said, in verse number 25, she goes from crying, Lord, thou son of David, have mercy. You remember what Bartimaeus said last night in the preaching? He didn't say it, but I repeated the message. I guess didn't say it grammatically correct. Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood still. But not this woman. What's wrong? She's praying the same prayer that Bartimaeus prayed. And what's wrong in your life? When you pray, when you've asked, and others have said, I asked, I prayed, and the Lord answered. But you've asked, and he's not answered. What's wrong? Can I say, she was not a covenant daughter or a covenant child. Don't get scared. Does not mean that she was, some are predestined to go to heaven and some are predestined to go to hell. That's not what I'm preaching at all tonight. But she was using the Davidic covenant, Lord, thou son of David, the same one that Bartimaeus was using. Bartimaeus was my friend, a son, a Jew, amen? Oh, yeah. Thank God, a lost sheep of the house of Israel, she was not, amen? And she tried to use that covenant. Oh, thou son of David, Lord, thou son of David, but it did not work. And when the covenant, my friend, the Davidic covenant, my friend, that covenant, the establishment of the Israelite, would not work, amen? She used the covenant of grace. And the Bible said she fell down at his feet.
Yeah.
And she didn't call him son of David. She just said, Lord, help me. Might be good for you tonight. You've been trying and you've been trying to put together words and say the right thing and pray the right prayer. And maybe you just need to find a place tonight and say, Lord, help me. And not based on anything, but thank God his grace. She asked for mercy. In other words, thank God, withhold from me what I do deserve. But now she's asking for grace. Will you give me, amen, what I don't deserve? Amen. Amen. She falls at his feet and worships him. When you pray, your soul is occupied with its needs. When you praise the Lord, your soul is occupied with its blessings. But when you worship, your soul is just occupied with who he is. Not what he's done, not what he's doing, not what he's going to do, but you're just adoring him for the person he is. The creator. Oh, yeah. He's just God. Amen. And beside him, there's none else. I think she was saying, I don't know what you're going to do. Oh, my. Thank God. Oh, I understand who I am. I understand who you are. Amen. Thank God. But before I leave, if you never do nothing, I'm going to let you know that I know you are the one that ought to be worshipped. I adore you for who you are. Amen. And when she worshiped him and cried, Lord, help me, he said, it's not meet for me to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. It's not right. It's not proper for me to take the bread that belongs to the children and give it to the dogs. He's not necessarily using derogatory language towards her. He's just telling her the plain facts. You're a Gentile. You're considered by the Jews as a dog. A heathen, an outcast. And I can't take the bread that belongs to them and give it to you. She didn't leave. She said, truth, Lord.
Yes.
Truth, Lord. Amen. Can you just admit truth to him tonight? Truth, Lord. But she said, even the dogs eat from the crumbs that fall from the master's table. If I can't have the children's bread, anything they have left over, I'll take. Anything that they don't want, anything that falls off the table, I'm just a crumb begging dog, I'll take the crumbs. Amen. Oh my. By the way, and I probably preached it before, but by the way, if you take the ingredients and make a loaf of bread. All the ingredients that you have mixed together and baked in that pan, loaf pan, are in that loaf. If you slice one slice of that piece of bread, all the ingredients that's in the loaf is in the slice.
Amen.
And Brother James Shaver said, and if all you get's a crumb, every ingredient that's in the loaf is in the crumb. Same ingredients in the crumb that's in the whole loaf. Love and mercy and forgiveness and pardon and joy and peace. It's all in the crumbs. I'll take the crumbs, you see. Jesus said, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. Mark said, Jesus said, for this saying, go thy way. The devil is gone out of thy daughter.
Amen.
This brought what she needed. Now, all them folks in Gennesaret that's getting healed by the multitudes. I don't know how many. The Bible doesn't tell us. It's got to be a lot. And they've all got faith. Because they believe they can just touch the border of his garment, they'll be made whole. But he never said to one of them, great is thy faith. They had faith, but they didn't have great faith. But this woman, who was a Gentile, who was not a covenant daughter, had great faith. I wonder tonight, would you seek him with that kind of faith tonight that says, Lord, I got to have your help. And my daughter's got to have your help tonight. Thank you, Pastor.